This is Jim Backus, and this is November the 1st, 1988. And I'm visiting with Hazel and George Nassif in their places of business. George is ill and will not be speaking directly today, but through his wife and through me, we intend to have a very interesting visit about the Fargo-Moorhead Community Theater, its history, and its accomplishments. Before we start, Dustin Hoffman is a very famous name in the American theater, and you had a personal visit with him, as a matter of a personal visit to Fargo, Mr. Hoffman. Tell me about that. I know that he came to Fargo as a temporary director, and you and George were kind enough to put him up.
Well, as a matter of fact, George and two other board members called for a guest director because the director became ill that was directing, and she suggested that we call New York. And Dustin Hoffman was on the phone, and he said, well, I'll come. He needed money, so he came. They hired him for two shows. George met him at the airport, and George looked at him, and he said, are you a director? I said, more than that, but he said, yeah, I am. And he said, okay. And he came to the community theater, which was located across from the Elam Lutheran Church. We were in the first Christian church there. We'd been many other places, but didn't have a regular home, so we had put in seats there at the first Christian church, and that was in 1963. And Dustin was very pleased.
I might mention that Dustin Hoffman now is a superstar, of course, in the cinema. He did Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh yes.
And several other great performances.
Mm-hmm.
But he also was an aspiring actor and an aspiring director from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been sent out by the theatrical organization, by, is that ASCAP? Well, that's not exactly ASCAP. It's a theatrical group that supplies all kinds of performers and directors to community theaters.
Yeah.
And as I remember, Mr. Hoffman got interested in you and your family.
Oh,
and,
wonderful man.
And he still, I'm told, speaks kindly of you whenever he's interviewed about North Dakota and about Fargo. Before we talk about the theater, let's talk about you and George. Were you born in North Dakota?
Yes, north of Bismarck.
North of Bismarck, in Burley County.
Mm-hmm. No. In Sheridan County.
Sheridan County.
Yeah, McCluskey. And
George?
Near McCluskey, Skogmaw.
George is also a native of North Dakota.
No, George is Sioux City. No, born in Albert Lea, Minnesota.
I see, born in Albert Lea.
Uh-huh. His father had a big department store in Albert Lea. And Dr. Borland came from Albert Lea, too. He knew him there. Mm-hmm.
And how did you get acquainted with George?
Met George in church in Sioux City when I was 16 years old.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
You've been married for a long time.
Well, a little while. Your wife Grace, or your first wife, knew him. Knew us then, and she happened to go by when we were getting just coming out of the church. They were throwing rice at us. Saw it, and I don't know if you ever told you about it.
Uh-huh. You were married in Bismarck.
Yeah, in the Episcopal Church in Bismarck. Mm-hmm.
And did you operate a store in Bismarck?
No.
You came to Fargo decided to go into the carpet.
No, George was in Sioux City.
I see.
For a while. He had a store there, and then he moved up to Fargo.
I see.
Uh-huh.
You were...
It was a few years after we were married.
Yes. You were located on Broadway.
That's right.
For a while.
For a long time.
And, and now you are on, what is your address?
514 Fourth Avenue North.
514 Fourth Avenue North.
Yes.
Well, from the very start of the talking about community theater, You and George must have been interested. Had you had any prior community theater experience?
George was in many shows, in going through school and high school. He took the lead in his class play and so on.
And this would be
in theater was
this would be in North Dakota.
No, in Sioux City.
In Sioux City.
Was, yeah,
I see.
He was. Anyway, George always loved acting, so he was in this. When someone said, on the board, said, let's close the community theater down, we're in the red, $150 in the red, and George says, as long as I'm on this board, this theater shall never shut down. So then George got out the old telephone directory, and that's how it came about. He called everybody in the directory for season tickets and so on and so forth, and they got pledge cards made up, and it went on from there. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting story. To go back just a little, when there was talk about a community theater being launched in Fargo, Moorhead, it was in part because of Aubrey Hook. Aubrey Hook, who's now deceased,
was
one of the leading lights. He had lived in Omaha, and
I think
he worked for the telephone company, did he not? And he had some experience, and was very enthusiastic. And so he got a number of people, including myself, together and just to visit about the possibilities of a community theater in Fargo. And this would be about 1946.
Mm-hmm.
So the theater is 42 years old in
98. Oh, yeah.
Were you in attendance at that organizational meeting, so to speak?
No, we weren't in Fargo, were we? No, yes, we were in Fargo, but no, not, we weren't in accordance with that. We were in Fargo before that.
But when George...
51, was it? 51.
In 1951, when George was opening the store?
No, 51 is when he became involved in theater.
Uh-huh.
In fact, he was putting on an act someplace near our store, and the director happened to be in there. And George didn't know he was the director of community theater. I don't even know what his name was. George would know. and he looked at George and he says, hey, you're an actor. He says, I want you to come down to community theater and look out for a show. George did.
Well.
Mm-hmm. That's how it got started. Just accidental. Accidentally meeting the director.
George was wearing a funny hat. I can remember George
doing
some individual turns.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Maybe you happened to be around then.
It's possible.
Yeah, because...
At any rate, the organization was pretty tentative, I can tell you. It just was a bunch of people, including Don Bishop, including, June Dobrovich, I guess Aubrey Hook, Mrs. Hook, who, after Mr. Hook died, became a teacher in the Fargo school system.
Oh, yes, you.
And
she went to our church.
Is very much interested in the theater and in children and all kinds of organizations. And out of that, Beverly Halbison was one of them.
Oh, yes.
And
June Dobrovich.
And numbers of other people thought that it would be a fine idea to have to put on a show and see if the community responded. And so it did. My Sister Eileen, was that the first effort?
George wasn't in that one.
At any rate...
Were you in My Sister Eileen? Were you in... Oh, no, not
I
in that
think
one.
That it was the... Maybe it's... The first
it was
fully,
one of the first
fully accredited.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember where that was shown?
Oh, I suppose it could have been up at the Ben Franklin School. Ben Franklin School. Mm-hmm.
Well, the theater, before it found a home, had a number of locations.
That's right.
It used the Ben Franklin Junior High School. It used, if I'm correct, one of the Moorhead school stages.
I didn't.
It
did it? High school? Yeah. MS. George says MS.
Moorhead or of Minnesota University, and it used, as you said earlier, it used a church, maybe an empty church.
Well, it was given to us.
It was given
by,
to
First Christian Church. They got a new church, I guess, and gave us this one.
And was that just west of the post office?
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And
that's where Dustin Hoffman helped us with two shows.
I see.
Or directed two shows. That one, The Time of Your Life, is one Dustin Hoffman directed.
That's a Hoffman production.
Yeah, he's showing you the picture.
The Time of Your Life.
Uh-huh, Jerry Mulready and George Nassif.
Which included Jerry Mulready and George Nassif. Do you recall the other production that he...
Oh, who?
Mr. Hoffman.
Dustin? Oh, yes. Yeah. Two for the Seesaw.
Two for the Seesaw.
Vic Tardieu and somebody else was in that. I think it was Carol Marquette. Mm-hmm. Vic Tardieu and Carol Marquette.
I recall that.
Around the Box House for 18 to 20 years, yes. Before I helped with it before that. And I know that Vic Tardieu was house manager. And he was back and forth the whole time. But this show, it was pretty, he was tied down as an actor in it. He was with Carol Marquette, and Dustin directed it. Like I said, Dustin was up and down the stairs, up and down the basement. Had a lot of fun there.
Well, I recall that production. It was splendid. And
the second one? The one
Jerry Mulready. Did Jerry Mulready do Harvey? I think it was. It might not have been Jerry. It might have been someone who worked at the Strauss Company. He was a salesman, and he did a beautiful Harvey.
I don't remember the show at that time, but I know we did Harvey recently.
Very successfully for the first time.
The first time. I don't remember who was in it the first time, but...
You suggested that the community theater had hard times, and since you were a manager of the box office, you certainly knew intimately what serious problems we were in financially.
Oh, absolutely. George is the one that would know every inch of it, because he was janitor, he was every part of the theater, and he knew exactly how much money we did need. But I'll tell you, we sure got out of the red. We stayed in the black. Whenever we needed lots of money for the show, we sold extra seats and kept repeating the show. Kept repeating it. In fact, The Odd Couple, we did 19 days, didn't we? George. Yeah, we made real good money on that one.
The Odd Couple.
Your season tickets are all used up for that show. People are paying the cash. Money is gravy, I tell you, it helped. We bought a lot of extra portable seats that they're still using now at the theater.
I see. Uh-huh. The Odd Couple, again, was a memorable production.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember who were the co-stars of that?
I know that. George Miller. Mm-hmm. Marquette? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Just remember who else.
Miss Marquette was in it.
Yeah, well, her. Yeah.
Yes.
Her husband was in it, too.
Well,
Lou was in the show. He was. Wasn't he the lead in that show? Lou?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's so many, so many shows that it's hard to remember every one. We remember a lot of them, but who played in what for so many years?
About how many?
Guess how many years that's been.
Yes, about how many productions? You have, you mentioned, I think, that about 70 productions, George was figured one way or another, either in the cast or in the production.
George figured, well, he's telling you, showing you on his hands. 50, George. Yeah, George is 50.
Remarkable.
Oh, yes. He was in every one for 26 years that I know. He didn't miss. It was pulling up his socks in one, as a Hessian soldier in one, and Otto Frank as a lead in another. My, he took whenever there was somebody fell out or got sick and couldn't take it, they called George took it. He saved the show.
He was a great understudy.
Yeah, yeah. What? Tell him about what, George.
Well, we have certainly, I think, stressed the fact that you, Hazel, and you, George, were really the spirit of the community theater, because you knew how difficult it was, and you knew also, you and George, knew that if an emergency came and George was there, he was a great understudy. He could step into a role and learn it quickly, and one of them, or two of them, was certainly a productions that I had some connection with. West is the Land, mm-hmm. and Show Goes the Nation.
Mm-hmm.
These were musicals, mm-hmm. full-dress musicals, with a ballet and a full orchestra, and they were very successful.
Mm-hmm.
They played in the Ben Franklin Junior High School, and it played in successive years, about 1952 and 53. And George also, in addition to those two productions, was in The Diary of Anne Frank, which in which he played a leading role.
He took the lead in
it. Took the lead.
Yes, he was out of France.
And he played in numbers of others, as well as being in the background, in the behind
he was
stage.
In every
when that
show
happened.
For 26 years, he never That's missed right. either a lead or a small part.
That's
very. If anybody fell out, George was in there, and he was in every show it seemed. Uh-huh.
26 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember that Show Goes the Nation, which followed. I think George was also in that. West is the Land was quite popular, in as much as I think it played 8 times in order mm-hmm. to accommodate those who were interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a great cast,
mm-hmm.
Fine singers, and with a musical score that was prepared by Frank Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Scott, a former
yes,
Fargoan,
right.
former member of the WDY radio organization, and also a fine pianist with
Lawrence Welk. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And recently, in 1988, he came back to Fargo and figured in a concert. What do you think was the guiding spirit of the community theater? Why did it succeed despite all of its problems?
Well, one of the things is everybody that was interested in theater was happy that it was one of the things that we were going to have here, and it became quite active because
it was well received,
and so on. And
this is a community that's full of talent.
Yeah, a lot of talent.
Lots
here.
Of talent. Of all kinds.
Wonderful directors.
Yes. I remember Barbara Oliver her husband.
I didn't
they
know
were,
her, but George.
They
yeah.
were a team,
uh-huh.
and at one time, the headquarters of the community theater was in Island Park. They had mm-hmm. removed a large gymnasium, you might call it, and moved it to Hector Airport. But they had left behind a portion of the place, which was enclosed, and it was big enough for a small stage, as well as the residences of the Olivers,
mm-hmm.
and tryouts were held there, and
it was called the Armory.
It would today be what people consider to be the bleachers on the north end of the present swimming pool at Island Park. A great portion of it has been removed, but still part of the structure is there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was where the directors the officers of the community theater began to realize that what they needed was a theater of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And so planning was done along that line, and I suppose that from the area in the Island Park, people would look over south, we'll say, of the YMCA, and looked very longingly at the vacant land that ultimately was going to be the home of the present-day theater. It was not an easy struggle, as I remember, to get this theater built.
Or to get the land for
and
it.
First to get the land, right. It was not the simplest thing. And did you figure in that?
Well, George and the different members had tried and worked on it, and I know that Chucky Reed was on the park board, and I spoke to Chucky Reed from church that day, and he says, we have a plan this afternoon to, there's going to be a meeting, we're going to try to get the land, and now George and different ones have been working on this, and by golly, that's what it happened. They got it for us to build the theater. And Chucky Reed has been, was in the theater a few years ago, and he says, we got the land.
Yeah. The park board,
so happy.
The park board dedicated a portion of several acres, as it
two
turns
mile,
out.
2 acres of it.
2 acres. And it's a lovely setting today. And once that land was secured...
I know, I think Delaney was on the board, exactly what went on, or how, whether NSP, it belongs to NSP, I think.
Mm.
Or is it the park board and NSP? Mm. Well, that's railroad land to begin with, George and
I see.
Jim.
So there's the possibility that it did figure in it.
It's probably for 99 years or something like that. Probably. I don't know exactly what it is, but we have it. And I worked the box office for many, many years, and George was in there all the time, the box office and the office and so on and so forth. But we've had a lot of fun doing all of this film, many years of it. Sold a lot of season tickets, sold a lot of work. Well, in fact, that's how they got started. George got this, got on the calling committee, and, I mean, started calling everybody and start selling the season tickets that way. How many did you sell? $9,000 worth, wasn't it? How many season tickets did you sell before you started digging? 10? 4,000? 1,000 season tickets, yes, at $9 a season ticket. Oh, 5? Oh, whatever.
That certainly, that was a good start.
You bet.
In the final construction, the labor unions figured
then,
in.
Then, exactly, right. And, I was just going to talk about that.
And with the Emma K. Herbst gift was made to the construction, and so it's named that today.
Yeah, well, they have made a pledge, you know.
Yes. The theater today is...
For the union.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The union, we had $75,000 with the free labor from the labor union.
Yes, that's extraordinary
and,
when you think about it.
Right now, it would be tripled. And they put their hearts and soul into that building. And Wayne Candor was ahead of the labor union. God bless him. He certainly did a lot. And
yes, he did.
Union members
he had a great hope sailing down the Mississippi.
He and George worked together on that, and we have a union night that we have before every show. We call it union night, and that's the night that George wanted and notified the union members that they are supposed to see the show union night and free. And so they had access to that night, and it went on for years, and I know union members still ask us about it.
Is it still possible, I suppose,
for them to be
the Wednesday night of the dress rehearsal?
It was the last year, unless they've changed something since, you know. It was last year, I'm sure. Yes, we have union night. You know, when you've been with the theater all these years, that we should have a reason to even, know that there should be union night for members that have
they made
put
it.
Their hearts and souls into it. You bet they did.
It was a very kind gift.
Oh, that was one of the best things that ever happened.
Yes.
We did get, how much worth of donations did we get for this? Oh, it's a $250,000 theater.
See? Yes.
At the time that it was built. Right now it'd be worth a million.
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
It had,
that's what George just said, 1 million.
Yes. It there were some handicaps at the very start. We were not able to build it as large as we had hoped.
No.
But today it has been expanded, as you know.
No, that's the size we did want. At that time.
I'm sure.
More intimate.
Yes. And it served very well. It was a thrust stage. Mm-hmm. It followed the idea of the Guthrie. The Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis had certainly given a big push on regional theater. Mm-hmm. And so we did have a thrust stage as well as a proscenium stage. Mm-hmm. And today it is a remarkable little plant that is very popular indeed. The organization is also now attempting to interest children as well as creative authors and writers.
Yes, we have children's theater then too.
Can you tell us something about the children's efforts?
Oh yeah, we have a children's theater.
I mean, you know something about the history?
Way back, you mean?
How it got started?
Well, it was a wing off the, they just called it a children's theater, a wing off the big theater, and seemed to me like J.C. Chapinas and a few of those women were in charge at the time. And we didn't do too many children's shows, but we did a couple of them that I remember of. George would know a little more. He knew quite a bit about children's theater then, George. How many shows did we have, children's theater, did we have do at the time, at the beginning? Did we do quite a few? Yeah. Okay, yes.
I suppose that any listing of the people involved one way or another with the Fargo-Moorhead Community Theater would be just too long for us to list. But certainly Marvin Hannibal, the very first director who came in by invitation to make the theater a theater with a real live director. And he was here for a number of years, and then he was followed, not necessarily in that order, by Barbara and Oliver and Bill, mm-hmm. and her husband Bill, and then there was John Tilton and his wife Shirley Tilton, and Marty and Marvin Jonasson, and others.
Ed Bigelow was in between there.
That's right.
He became. We brought him here early. Board brought him here from New York.
Yes.
George had contacted him and a few of the members, he and I think Lou Marget, and they came from New York. And he and his wife Penny, and he directed for quite a few years.
That's right.
And he became a priest of the Episcopal Church and was killed in a horrible train bus accident, or some kind of a car accident anyway, near Grand Forks.
Very unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
Did you know him?
Certainly.
He was killed with a Bishop Emery.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. And when you start to name some of the directors, some of the business people on the board, you certainly have to mention John Bennison.
No, you bet.
Ralph Rudroot. John Mosley, Ulysses Atkinson, Ralph Rudrud, and of course Paul Earhart and his wife Corinne Earhart.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was one of the more faithful back of the scene. He was a fine carpenter, and he was an electrician, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think that many a production would not have gone to the boards unless if it hadn't been for Paul.
Oh, I believe that.
Yes. And his wife also was a fine actress, mm-hmm. as well as a teacher, mm-hmm. a kindergarten teacher in Fargo, Moorhead. Mm-hmm. I suppose that this list doesn't even begin to start the list. There must be thousands of people mm-hmm. who have played, mm-hmm. who have been back of the scenes, mm-hmm. who have provided music, mm-hmm. who have, as you and George have done, have been behind the scenes in a business way. And after all, that's vital if you're going to have a successful community theater. Mm-hmm. Many theaters, community-wide efforts have failed mm-hmm. because they just didn't have the business acumen, the business thinking, and as you said a few minutes ago, the ability to go out and sell 4,000 or more season tickets.
Mm-hmm. 1,000.
Yes.
Season tickets.
But over the years, you certainly...
Before we got started, before with the building.
You certainly have...
Oh, yeah, interesting.
You certainly have sold a lot of tickets yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the 26 years you refer to as George's interest...
There was 26 or more. It was 1951.
It was also yours.
Just yeah. Yes. No, George was in a little before I could help him. His children were quite small, and I got into it more or less after 1958.
Mm-hmm. When you could, you certainly became...
I did.
You were the box office manager.
Oh, yes. Everything else.
And you had... Yes.
In every phase of it.
Yes, in every phase. Including...
I had the phone come directly to our store. In fact, that red one. What? How many years? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 40 mm. years? Yeah, George said he'd been with her 40 years.
Mm.
How many?
Amazing.
Figured out anyway.
Yes.
And Shirley did an awful lot. John Tilton and Shirley certainly did a lot for our theater.
They were dedicated folk who came here, I think, from a theater in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Perhaps from
they brought him here from Aberdeen, was it? Yes. Did you bring John Tilton here from Aberdeen or Rapid City? Rapid City, yeah.
Yes. Well, I think the future of the theater is assured. It has a wonderful plant. It is faced with many of the problems of the other regional theaters around the country. But I think we can be proud of what we've accomplished in concert.
Well.
Speaking on behalf of George and Hazel Nassif, and Mr. Nassif recently suffered a stroke, and so I'd like to speak on his behalf for just a few moments for the Heritage Education Commission. It's difficult, really, to say precisely how much George and Hazel accomplished when they were almost the two people vibrantly and completely interested. And George, as you've gathered, has appeared on the Fargo-Moorhead Community Theater stage. And it appears now about 60 roles. He was in the production of the fifth season, A Mousetrap, Mad Woman of Shiloh, The Solid Gold Cadillac, The Odd Couple, Show Goes the Nation, and West is the Land, two musicals. He was received some regional attention when he played a very difficult role in The Diary of Anne Frank, and that particular production, that particular effort by Mr. Nassif left many audience members teary-eyed. At the times when things were very hard for the budget of the community theater, George and several theater regulars perfected a one-act comedy and made over 55 appearances before various organization meetings in order to stimulate the awareness of the theater. And he was certainly very instrumental in the fundraising campaign to build the community theater's home, the present Emma K. Herbst Playhouse, which was erected in 1967. Due to George's determination and his interest in the community and in the trades and labor unions of the area, he was very effective in the actual building of the theater, organizing crews and even installing the lobby carpeting. And his wife, as you gathered by this tape, has played a very large part in theater history. For 21 years, Hazel and her family supervised the box office, handling reservations and organizing the volunteers. She located ushers and concessionaires and box office workers, and hers was a very faithful service. Recently, the theater board of directors made notice that they are appreciative of the dedication and belief that the community theater had benefited from with George and Hazel, and they saluted them both for what they have meant to the theater over these many years. This is Jim Backus ending the tape on behalf of George and Hazel Nassif and the Fargo-Moorhead Community Theater.